afford to be. This is small town music, this is big town music. He's ahead of his time, you know, but he can't use it. If only he could prove it. Well, tomorrow's just a song away, a song away, a song away.
Hey everybody, welcome to Rock Solid, the comedy podcast for all things music, both new and classic. I'm Pat Francis, and today, this is your Monday bonus episode. And joining me in the Zoom room today is my friend and author, Rebecca Phelps. Rebecca, how are you doing?
I am great. Thank you for having me today.
You are so welcome. I'm going to hold it up for the people that can see the video. This is a copy of Downworld. I'm going to let people know I actually have two copies. Woo-hoo. And I'm going to give these away, not this coming Friday, but I think April 16th, I will be giving those away to our Patreon supporters. Now I have two copies. I might actually have more than that by the time this contest comes up because I have contacted the publisher. So we will see if they come through for us. Okay, Rebecca.
I will come and sign them before you give them away.
There you go. We'll meet halfway.
Yeah.
And get a signature.
Perfect.
All right. So Rebecca, we know each other initially because your husband was one of my wife's students / clients.
We both were.
You both were.
Yes.
That's
Stefan was there first. Stefan was there first, and then I met your wife years ago in one of her classes at UCLA, and then I joined the nightly salons that she had, which is where I met my husband, Stefan.
That is right. And now I'm glad that you clarified that story because I do know that story. And now I've started the whole interview with a mistake. So thank you. And you can feel free to correct me on anything like that. So yes, you and Stefan met in my wife's writing class / writing group. And I think you're the only matchmaking success that Pilar and I have.
There were other couples. I don't know how successful.
Probably not.
We made it. Still married to this day.
Still married. Now, today we're recording this on Easter. So when people are hearing this, it's the day after Easter. But what did you have kids at home?
Yeah.
There's three kids, but one at college and the other two are still of Easter age.
Yes. My stepdaughter is in New York for college. The other two are here. We do all the holidays. We did Passover last weekend. We did Easter this week. We'll find another religion to celebrate next week. We do everything. So we did the Easter egg hunt.
Now, do you do the holidays, but you don't go to the church or the temple, or do you?
No, I haven't been to a temple. Oh God, was it my bat mitzvah? It was a long time ago. There may have been a wedding at some point. No, actually, I think it was my bat mitzvah was the last time. And then Stefan went to a church. He went to in twice in our relationship. There was a first communion, I want to say, that we went to. And then there was a funeral that we went to. And those were the only two times I've ever seen that man step foot in a Catholic church.
See, that's what we do here too. We got a Christmas tree, we got a menorah, we do all the stuff, and we just try to teach the kids to be positive citizens of the planet.
Exactly.
That's how we do it here. So the kids are how old?
10 and 8.
10 and 8. So they're full on, they believe in this Easter bunny.
Yes.
How stupid are kids, Rebecca?
They believe that when they wake up in the morning, there are a bunch of eggs with candy in them. And they're very happy with that arrangement.
How did we ever think that there was a bunny that brought this stuff?
This is the thing with this Noshkeit, is that I grew up Jewish. We don't have all these magical creatures that come.
Like, there's right.
Easter bunny and Santa, and there's some elf or something, a fairy that comes for like St. Patrick's Day, or a leprechaun. It's a leprechaun.
Yeah.
There's witch. What is all this crap?
There's too much stuff.
All these fairy people. And so my whole motherhood of these children has been like, what is this thing I'm supposed to remember and lie to them about?
I know, it's ridiculous. And some things as a kid you can get your head around, maybe the tooth fairy or a Santa, but the bunny bringing the candy, I don't get it. But I believed it. I was full on in.
to do with your religion? I don't understand the bunny thing.
Nothing to do with religion. All right, let's talk about Downworld real quick. Yes. Not real quick. We'll be talking about it throughout the show. So Downworld just released, what, March 30th it came out?
March 30th. Tuesday it came out.
And currently, your book is one of the book of the month at the Barnes & Noble in Studio City. Now, look, I'm going to tell people who don't live in Los Angeles this. The Barnes & Noble in Studio City is the bookstore. I mean, that's the place. I mean, everyone knows it. It's kind of famous. So if your book is book of the month, that's pretty cool. So congratulations on that.
I think it's the horror, whatever, thriller, mystery book of the month, which is awesome.
Now, do you want to log line it for us? Do you want to tell us about Downworld?
So this is a story about, it's either called sci-fi or some people call it fantasy, but it is a story about a teenage girl who is mourning the death of her brother. And she discovers that there are three doors under her high school, which used to be a military base, and the doors lead to other possibilities, other realities, other dimensions. And she discovers that it might be possible to bring her brother back from this down world that exists under the school.
I love it. That was perfect. You've done this before.
I have. And then I left out the love interest. She teams up with the hot guy and the other hot guy and tries to figure out how to bring her brother back.
In the book, are they called Hot Guy 1 and Hot Guy 2? Because that would be great if they were.
I promise they are way more developed characters. there's a lot of history with this young man that was her brother's best friend. And they have to go through this emotional journey and spiritual journey and this journey of redemption and forgiveness. And they really have to grow up a lot in the process of trying to uncover the mysteries of Downworld.
And again, this is a YA novel, which means young adult. And it sounds perfect. The log line you just gave me, it sounds like who wouldn't want to read this?
That was my thought.
if you're watching Stranger Things, then you want to read this.
The company that has published it, Wattpad Books, is selling it as Stranger Things meets Dark, meets Coraline. It's got a lot of what would be, the idea that you can go through a portal and that there's something on the other side that represents your greatest fears, your greatest needs, the thing that you're afraid to look at in the dark is on the other side.
And that's the way it's done. I don't want to sound like an industry, weirdo, but that's how you pitch stuff out here. It's this meets this. And then people immediately know what you're talking about. And then you tell them what your original story is and they go, oh yeah, that's cool. Yeah. So now to get this published though, it was kind of a unique way that this happened, correct?
Yeah, it was a long road, which I guess publishing always is. Mm-hmm. It was a book that I wrote maybe 5-6 years ago. I really was proud of it. I knew it was good. I knew it was, I've been writing for a long time. I was a screenwriter, I was an actress, written a bunch of screenplays, sold some. And I just knew that this one was good. And I was so proud of it. And I didn't know what to do with it. And, trying to get an agent with it, trying to write blind query letters to agents I've never met, like, you don't know me, but trust me, you would love this book.
Right.
Or what if you were 17? Trust me. It's hard. It's a hard way to break in. And so a friend had mentioned Wattpad, which is this site where you can put up your original work, your original books. And I, kind of vacillated for a while. And finally, in June of 2019, so the summer before last, I said, screw it. I've got this great book. I'm going to put it on this website. And I stuck it on Wattpad. And, in 4 months, I think it got 9 reads because who'd ever heard of me? And I didn't know how to promote it. And then this sort of computer algorithm over at Wattpad discovered it and put it on a spooky stories list that you should read. And it took off and got, 300 reads, 400 reads, 4,000 reads, 20,000 reads. It just kept going. And
amazing.
A month later, I won an award. I won a Wattie Award for Best Young Adult Fiction for 2019. And then they called me a month after that and said, can we publish this book? And I said, sure.
I mean, I know, like, you don't even ask any questions. You just say yes at that point.
And it's a unique opportunity. They have a really good partnership in America with Macmillan. They're in the UK with Penguin Random House. They're in Canada, Australia, New Zealand, Scotland. They're all the English speaking territories. They've got a Wattpad Studios that makes movies and TV shows. So it's the option included that. It was a great opportunity. So, yeah.
And now this is your calling card now.
Yes.
It's all that work for this calling card, but how can I explain it to people? Just the fact that I can hold this in my hand, it's almost a miracle. You know yeah. what I mean? It's like people move out here. Where did you move out here from?
Chicago.
Okay, Chicago. I'm originally from Pennsylvania, lived in Chicago 6 years, and then I moved out here. I've been out here 25 years. But you come out here with hopes and dreams, and it's soul-crushing, and things don't work out, and you wonder, you know, you're always maybe second-guessing yourself. So yeah. then when something happens, like your book is published, I mean, what was it like when you got a box of these books delivered at your house?
And the first,
there's a video for it. Will you tell me, you tell me though, you open it up and you hold this thing and how yeah. do you feel?
I just cried. There's a few boxes. First you get the ARCs, you get the industry copy right. and those came and you know, the kids were excited and we were screaming and we were all taking the copies out. They sent me 30 copies. I'm taking them out of the box. I'm crying. Stephen's got a camera in my face and he's like, how do you feel? And I'm like, it's my book. Like you said, it's a long road. I was an actress first. And you want to talk about soul crushing rejection. It's just one after another. And then as a screenwriter, and it's literally just, how about this screenplay? How about this one? You want a spec? You want a horror? You want a thriller? How about a comedy? Rewrite one after another. You know, we sold a script that didn't get made. You write another one that's a near miss. It's just one thing after another.
Right. So yeah. Book,
when I finished this book and couldn't, you know, get an agent to be like, let's get this published, I just thought, well, here we go again. Here's another thing I put yeah. my heart into. And it's just going to sit there on my computer. And I was just like, man, I worked too hard to have nothing come of this. And so it's amazing.
I tell people that it's probably easier to become a doctor than to make it in Hollywood as an actress or author or screenwriter, because you go to med school and when you come out, you're a doctor and now you go get a job. But it's a learning experience constantly out here. So that's why I wanted to have you on, because we have a lot of cool friends. And whenever our cool friends do fun stuff and have success, I want people to know about it. So again, Downworld, Wattpad Books, go to Amazon right now, get it on your Kindle, get a physical copy and just do it. That's what I want you to do. One more thing before we get into playing some music is you're a mom and you also work, right? You have a job.
Yep.
So when do you find time to write anything?
Oh, that's a great question. The first book, Downworld, I wrote at the cafe down the street at 6 a.m. Stefan would get up with them. They were babies. So mm-hmm. he'd get up with them. I'd go down there. I'd write for 40 minutes and I'd come back to relieve him so that he could shower and get to work.
Right.
So that was Downworld. The second book, Yesterworld, because there's a sequel, which is on Wattpad. Two sequels. Yesterworld, I wrote during my lunch breaks when he was at work and the kids were at school and I worked from home. So during my lunch break, I'd write for 40 minutes, eat a sandwich and get back to my desk. This one, the new one, Everworld, I'm trying to write during this pandemic. And oh my God, this is hard. This is just hard.
Yeah, like you would think, well, I have a lot more time now, right? But nope. But no, because the kids are right there all the time and it's difficult.
I was talking to my friend. I said, you know, it's not that there's no time. It's that there's no quiet time. There's no headspace time where you just, no one's talking to you. No one's around. No one needs anything. No one needs a sandwich. You're just go for a walk and be in your head and listen to your music, which is how I think up a lot of my stuff is I just listen to my music. I walk. I think I watch people. I'm a huge people watcher. And that's gone. And that part has been really, really hard.
And the reason I brought that all up is when you really want something, you need to find that time to write it. So like those 45 minutes before Stefan went to work, you didn't go to Starbucks and order all your stuff and talk to a bunch of people. You had to go there and you had to write. You had to hit the ground running and write until it was time to leave.
I went there with, as they were opening, because it was empty when they were opening. There were just guys out front playing chess and no one in the back. So I'd go to the back. I didn't ask for their Wi-Fi. That was the big thing. I had no idea how to log on to Wi-Fi.
No. If you need to research something, just write it in parentheses and look later.
Yes, I didn't put the filler, like name of town, **, and then you look back.
And then do it later. All right. So we play music on this show. So we're trying to do a quick workaround of how do we come up with songs we can play in regard to Downworld. Now, Downworld takes place at high school.
Yep.
So I said, why don't we just play songs we liked when we were in high school? I'm much older than Rebecca, so we're going to have different songs. Although you got some classics in here, which is cool.
I didn't like the music when I was in high school. I wasn't a huge fan.
What year did you graduate high school?
94.
So I graduated in 82, 12 years before you. But your music is like the songs you picked today. Like, first of all, I only had to purchase one of these songs. I owned all these songs. I have all these songs.
Perfect. Which one did you purchase?
Was it? I don't want to say, because it's the play out.
I think I know which one it was.
Yeah. So I don't want to say. Okay. I have that song in its original version, but not this version. Yeah. So, and then you said maybe some songs that made you think about writing or books. Was that correct?
Yeah. Well, I sent you 10 songs. The first five were ones that I experienced in high school that were transformative for me.
Okay.
And the second five are books that specifically inspired parts. I'm sorry, songs that specifically inspired parts of the books.
Okay, cool. And do I want to ask another Downworld question? Is there you would want this to become Hunger Games, of course. That would be the crazy wild goal and dream. Is there interest film wise? I mean, I know it's early.
I can't say too much. There's so many cool things happening with this book, and I can't say any of them. I can say that Wattpad Studios owns the option, and that there is a producer and a lot of interest in making this a show, but I can't say.
All right. We won't say anything, because that way when the next thing happens, then you come back.
And then I'll come back and we'll talk about that cool thing with it.
And then we'll play songs from high school again.
Yeah. But
okay, here we go. I'm going to let you kick it off. You can call out your songs in any order. I have them here. They're all queued up. You can pick the song and you can tell us about it, how it relates to whatever. And then we'll hear some of it. And then it'll be my turn.
All right. Well, the first song I picked, it's not much of a story, but one of the themes of Downworld is that the main character, Marina, she lives in this little town. Her life's been kind of rough, and she fantasizes that she's going to leave this town one day. There's this long distance train that runs through the town. And if you take it east, you get to New York. And if you take it west, you get to Portland, Oregon. And either way works, because it gets you out of this little town. And so the first song I picked was Styx, Come Sail Away, because I vividly remember when I was about 14 or 15, going into the courtyard at school, someone was blasting this song. And I remember just thinking, this is the song I'm going to play when I leave this town.
All right.
I played it when I left the town, but it was this moment of like, I'm going to get out of here and it's going to be great.
All right, here we go. Come Sail Away, 1977 from The Grand Illusion. Let's hear some of Come Sail Away.
Set an open course for the virgin sea, 'cause I've got to be free. Free to face the life that's ahead of me. On board I'm the captain, so climb aboard. We'll search for tomorrow on every shore. And I'll try, oh Lord, I'll try to care
That song gives me a chill.
I know.
Like I was getting chills. How weird is that?
His voice was insane.
It's incredible. Dennis DeYoung. Yeah. Unbelievable. Good choice. Now, in 1977, how old were you?
One.
One in 1977. That's insane. I was 13.
Yeah, most of the writers on Wattpad are 19 right now. So I'm...
Is that true?
Yeah, they're all really young. They are. So I'm very much like, oh, you're all so cute and you're all published and you're young. It's so horrible.
But do you want it at 19 or do you want it now?
First off, I don't think I was as good of a, I know I wasn't as good of a writer at 19. These young people are blowing me away. The books and I've read all their books. They're wonderful. They're great.
Yeah.
I don't think I could have written a novel at 19. I don't think I could form a thought at 19. I don't know.
A 19-year-old today is either super mature.
Yeah.
Or super immature.
That was always true, I guess.
All right. My first song.
Yeah.
From 1981. I'll tell you about this. I'm a gigantic fan of the band The Who.
Yes.
But I didn't really get into The Who until 1981 with the album Face Dances. And the only reason I got into them then is because a bunch of my friends formed a band and played the song You Better You Bet at a high school assembly. I didn't even know it was a Who song when they played it. I thought their version was amazing. So I'm going to play You Better You Bet.
Okay.
Here it comes.
I caught you on the telephone. My voice too rough with cigarettes. I sometimes feel I should just go home, but I'm dealing with a memory that never forgets. I love to hear you say my name, especially when you say yes. I got your body right now on my mind, but I drunk myself blind to the sound of old T-Rex. To the sound of old T-Rex. Oh, and who's next?
I love that part because they name check their own album with Who's Next.
Yes. Brilliant.
That's my story. I'm sticking to it.
It's a great song. It is.
When, so what year did you move to LA?
I finished college in Wisconsin in 98 and I literally graduated. I had the U-Haul packed. I did the graduation ceremony at the old football stadium and I lived across the street from it. So when it ended, I took off the rented cap, you know, the mortarboard to the guy. And I walked across the street and I got in the already packed U-Haul. And I had to make a detour because my sister was graduating from veterinary school. So we went to her graduation and then my sister and my brother and I drove to LA.
Wow. Yeah. And so
I had been here 2 years before. This is a fun story. I was here when I was 19. I was not writing a novel at 19. I was an extra in Boogie Nights when I was 19. I came out.
Are you seen? Can I see you on Boogie Nights?
You can see a lot of me in Boogie Nights. Yeah.
Whoa. Okay, I didn't know this.
I wear a bikini.
You just sent people down a Google rabbit hole with this.
Yeah, that was my first job in LA. I got here and I signed up with this extra agency because I was trying to get my SAG card. And I showed up at this place and we got in the shuttle, you know, me and the other extras didn't know what it was, had no idea. And we get on the shuttle. We're like, what are we shooting today? And the driver says, it's, you know, have you ever heard of this porn star named John Holmes? And I was a kid. I was 19. I was like, no, I never have. He's like, well, it's a movie about him and it's got Marky Mark in it. And I remember we were just looking at each other like, oh my God, I've been in LA for 4 seconds and I'm in a porno. What happened? How am I going to tell my mother? And it turned out it was fine.
Yeah, but it is a film that's shot and it has a feel of a porno at times.
Yes, it does.
It's a brilliant film though.
I mean, it was a weird set. It was a wonderful set to be on because you couldn't tell like, is this porn? Or like, why is William H. Macy here? Because he wouldn't be here, right?
It's amazing. Yeah. Did you get a SAG card because of that movie?
Later I did, yeah.
All right, good. And let me ask you this. So you came out here, you didn't come out alone.
I did. Well, my brother and sister dropped me off.
Oh, they dropped you off, but then you didn't, and you didn't know anyone?
My sister had a friend that she had studied monkeys with in Puerto Rico once, and she was here. And okay. I stopped by her house, and then I rented a room from somebody.
See, this is the ballsy thing that you have to do when you really want something.
It didn't feel it, like, looking back, I'm like, what was I thinking? But at the time I was like, well, yeah, of course I'm going to move to LA and be an actress. Of course I am.
Right. And like, you live out here now. So if your kids want to go into acting, they're out here. They're already here. But yeah. if they wanted to move, if you didn't live here and they wanted to move to LA, you'd be freaking out.
You can't tell a 21-year-old what to do though.
No, yeah. That's true. You can't. Yeah,
you just can't.
Here's my next question. Then we'll move on to a song. I don't know why I'm not sparsing these questions out, but I like to talk. So I'll have stuff. How much money did you have when you moved out here on your like access to?
I actually have a little bit of money. I was going to go to NYU and couldn't afford it.
Okay.
And my dad said, if you go to a state school, there'll be a little money left over when you're done. And I was like, okay. Well, that sounds good. So I went to the University of Wisconsin. We're from Chicago, but any state school would have been cheaper than NYU, which was $100,000. So I went to Wisconsin, and when I got out, there was a little bit. There was like maybe $20,000 left.
Oh, that's good.
6 months trying to. I was waiting tables. I was bartending. I was delivering food. Oh my God, I had 80 jobs, and it wasn't enough.
Well, you will be horrified when I tell you that when I moved out here, I had $1,800.
Ooh. That's a lot. How did you even get a car? What did you do?
Well, I had a car, but I only had, you know, access to $1,800 of my own money, which is insane.
I know.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, but at the time you could rent an apartment. Like you could rent a room for like $300, $400.
We had a 2-bedroom, 2-bath apartment with a common area and a kitchen. It was $750.
Yep.
Total. So $375 each.
Those were the days.
Yep. 1995.
I rented a loft for $500 a month. And I remember coming from Wisconsin. I was like, that is so much money.
I know. Crazy.
What's wrong with this town?
And how much would that be now?
Oh, it was a beautiful apartment. It would be $2,500 a month.
Yeah. Easily.
Easily, if not $3,000. Yeah. Crazy.
All right. Song number two from Rebecca.
Oh, from me, you know what we should do? Okay. So I had this friend growing up whose mom was this hippie who had been at Woodstock. And so I went to her house almost every day before school or after school. And we would go through her mom's record collection because I didn't know anything about music. And she basically was my one person music history. It was like School of Rock for Rebecca. So she introduced me to Janis Joplin and I mean, Cream. This woman had every record ever. So we listened to a lot of Janis. So the next song is Ball and Chain, which is, I don't even know if she ever put it on an album, but this is from the Monterey Pop Fest, I think. Do you have that version?
I believe I do. And I believe it is on her greatest hits album. I hope this is the correct version.
It doesn't matter. It's the end of it where she starts talking and rapping. Like she goes crazy at the end of the song.
Fingers crossed that this is the correct version. Here we go. Ball and Chain. This can't be.
Tell me why. Just because I got to want your love. Honey, just because I got to need your love. I said, I don't understand. Honey, when I want a chance to try. Everybody in the world wants the same damn thing. When everyone in the world needs the same Lord thing. When I want to work for your love, Daddy. When I want to try for your love.
I don't know when to fade it down.
No, she's going to talk. You could just fade.
Okay.
She talked for 10 more minutes. This has nothing to do with Downworld whatsoever. I just remember thinking that this woman was the most talented, incredible thing I'd ever heard. Still do, pretty much.
Yeah. She's in the 27 club, right?
Yeah, she was.
That's ridiculous.
27 years old.
Yeah, I've outlived her by 30 years. Hi, I'm Pat. Now, since you're here and you're a friend, there are ads that are dropped into the podcast now from my hosting site. And normally they just drop in anywhere. But since you're here, I can actually tee it up right now and just say, right now, listeners, you're going to hear one of those ads.
Great.
At McDonald's, we're always working to build on our Happy Meal. Which is why we're giving your little ones the choice of a book or toy and are ditching hard plastic toys altogether. And why we've recycled old toys into Ronald McDonald House Charities Playgrounds. In fact, we're building one right now. Sorry for the noise. Participating restaurants only. Served from 11 a.m.
And we're back. All right, so I'm going to play, what's my name? Since we talked about moving out here, I'm going to play one of my favorite story songs. Came out when I was in 11th grade, 1981. It's by Rod Stewart. I saw him on this tour, the Tonight I'm Yours tour. I have this album autographed hanging on my wall. And I just love this song so much. I'm sure I've played it on the show countless times. But this is Young Turks. Time is on your side when you're a young Turk.
Time, when you're young and you're like, time is on my side. And
yep.
Then now you're like, yeah.
I love that song. My favorite line is Patty gave birth to a 10-pound baby boy. That's a big boy. Maybe Rod didn't know how big kids were when they're born, because he was always on the road when his wife would be giving birth. So he had no idea that that's. No.
Probably didn't know what pounds were. Like, don't they do they measure babies?
Too big, Rod. Too big. But man, I love that song. I love it so much.
Yeah.
Moving on to Rebecca.
We should do, okay, this is a song that's actually in Downworld. It was in the original version. My publisher really tried to get the rights to put it in the published version, but it was impossible.
So when you say get rights, you mean just to print lyrics?
Just to print the lyrics.
Okay.
And we really tried so hard. And at the end, we were able to get like 50% rights, but we needed 100 and we ended up paraphrasing it.
Okay.
It is because Morrissey wouldn't give us the rights, which is fine. It's the Smiths. Please, please, please let me get what I want. It is played during a very pivotal scene in Downworld. And if you've read the book, then you know the scene. But it sums up so much of what the characters are feeling towards the end of the book.
Okay, here we go. A little bit of Smiths.
Good times for a change. See, the luck I've had can make a good man turn bad. So please, please, please let me get what I want this time.
Let's pick that song for this one character because it just seems to sum up so much of how you feel when you're 17, 18 and it, things aren't working out.
Yeah, he did definitely capture that feeling with those lyrics. Now I'm going to play one of my, I have three songs in my playlist that are kind of like book workarounds, and okay. I'll explain as I play them.
Okay.
First of all, I'm sad to admit that I'm not a big reader of fiction. I tend to just read rock bios and stuff like that.
You're saying you're a man.
But, yes, yes. But these songs, they don't really relate to fiction books I've read, but I'm making them seem like they do. So one of the books I remember reading one summer was John Grisham's The Firm.
Yep.
Okay, so this song is called Radioactive, and it's by the band The Firm. So here we go.
Well, I'm not uptight, not unattractive. Turn me on tonight, 'cause I'm a radioactive, radioactive. Well, it's not a fight, and I'm not your captive. Turn me loose tonight, 'cause I'm a radioactive, radioactive. I want to stay with you.
In case you don't know, Rebecca, that's Jimmy Page on guitar from Led Zeppelin, and Paul Rodgers from Bad Company on vocals. A guy my age would call that a super group.
It's a super group, yeah.
Super group.
Because when you said Radioactive, there's a Sia song called Radioactive. And I was like, have we just skipped ahead 30 years? But no.
Yeah, no, different song, different song. we do a topic on here from time to time called Title Fight, where okay. we take two songs that have the same title, but they're different songs. And then they go head to head, and we always have a third party then decide who wins the bout.
So
I'm just throwing that out there. It's fun. Yeah. It's fun. Okay. So if you're watching the video, you can see what happens here. When the music plays, I'm kind of looking down awkwardly, and Rebecca's rocking out. But maybe I'll rock out. Maybe I'll start rocking out.
I love this music. I'm having a good time.
I've rocked out not in the future. I've rocked out in the past. Maybe I'm embarrassed to rock out in front of Rebecca. That's going to have to change. Okay, Rebecca, what's your next tune? Tell us.
Oh, gosh. Well, should we go back to my high school or the fictional high school?
Whatever you want to do. It's up to you.
You know, there's a song that I want to make sure we get to. It's a song. Oh, I'm going to cry. This is a song. The book was very, very vaguely inspired by some stuff that I went through with my brother when he was in high school. And he and I didn't talk for a really long time. We didn't see each other for a long time. And there was a little bit of that going on in the book. And right before he left, he was really into this R.E.M. Green album. And he would drive me to school some days and he would play this album. And this album I can't even listen to because it makes me think of that time when we were going through that. But anyway, we got to play the song. It's R.E.M. Green, You Are Everything.
Okay, here we go.
Sometimes I feel like I can't even sing. I'm very scared for this world. I'm very scared for me. This erasure memory. Here's a senior in the backseat, laying down the windows, wrap around to the sound of the travel and the engine. All you hear is time stand still in travel. Such peace and absolute stillness still that doesn't end but slowly drifts into sleep. The stars are the greatest thing you've ever seen, and they're there for you, for you alone. You are the everything. I think about this world a lot.
All right, did you cry?
I didn't cry. It's so pretty. It's still so pretty.
Such a great song.
I hear it. I'm like, God, Michael Stipe.
Now, I tell you, if you would have cried, you would not be the first person to ever cry on the show.
Who else cried?
Oh, my God. I've cried. John Waite cried. Melissa Etheridge cried. Rick Springfield cried. Christine Blackburn, who's a frequent co-host, she cries every time.
Fabulous.
Every time. I think Murray's cried. It's...
You can, I cry a lot on my Instagram. If you want to see me cry, you can check out
some, you know, sometimes you pick a song and you have headphones on and it really gets in your head and it, you just start to get, you know, emotional and you didn't expect to. And that's how it is. Now, can I ask a personal question? Are you and your brother cool now?
Yes, we're great now. He's awesome now. He's married. He's got two kids. He's great.
Cool. And how many siblings total? Just three of you?
My sister and my brother. Yeah.
Where do you fall?
I'm the youngest.
You're the youngest. All right.
Desperately seeking attention. Yeah. That's
well, I'm the middle. So I thought the middle child wants all the attention. Yes. I got an older brother, younger sister. So she's like the youngest and the only girl. So she's getting so much attention.
Yes.
I'm the black sheep because I moved to California. My whole entire family, Rebecca, still lives in my hometown. My brother, his yes. wife, my sister, her kid. It's crazy.
I know.
Here I am. Here I am, moved out $1,800. That's as I think about that, that's kind of crazy because I also remember the first 3 weeks I lived out here, I didn't even try to get a job. I can remember sitting by the pool of our apartment with other friends that had moved out here and
spending your $1,800.
Yeah, we didn't, it was kind of crazy. We didn't even care. We're just like, yeah, we're going to just enjoy LA for like a couple of weeks. And I guess we did.
Yeah.
What's my next song I want to go to? Okay. My favorite band of all time is Cheap Trick.
Yes.
And when I was about a senior in high school, 1982, that's when MTV crash landed and everyone didn't have it on their cable system at that point. But a friend of mine, Robert White, he did have it. And there was going to be a world premiere of two Cheap Trick videos. There was going to be She's Tight. Yep. And then the other song was If You Want My Love. So I'm going to play, since I'm a gentleman, I'm going to play If You Want My Love instead of She's Tight.
They're both good songs.
Even though I've said the title now twice. Here we go. If You Want My Love. Just a side note to my listeners, this Friday, a new Cheap Trick album comes out. It's called In Another World. I've had it for a month. I can tell you it's pretty good. It's got some winners on there. You know, I give it about a 6 out of 10. That doesn't sound like a high mark, but the songs that are among the six are great. So I'm just throwing that out there. I'm also trying to get a member of Cheap Trick on the show. So fingers crossed, everybody.
That'd be cool.
All right. I digress.
You get cool guests on here.
Over the pandemic, Rebecca, it's been kind of crazy because everyone's been cooped up. Yeah. And so almost everyone I reached out to would say,
like,
yeah,
I'm not doing anything. Sure.
Yeah. The biggest and probably my biggest guest of all time was I had Brian Johnson, lead singer of AC/DC on. That was insane.
Listen to that.
It was insane. So.
Scottish?
I think he is Scottish.
Yeah, because I thought he was Australian, and then he started talking, and I was like, that is not an Australian accent.
No. He's a fun dude.
Yeah.
But no more fun than you. All right, next up.
Okay, I was going to play a song that's a total downer, but after that, I feel like we have to go a little bit high, like a little bit like more fun.
Okay.
This is Guns N' Roses' version of Knocking on Heaven's Door, which was, I don't know if I have a great story for this song, but you have to understand what Guns N' Roses meant to us when we were growing up, and what the whole Axl Rose saga, the Slash saga, meant to us. And this particular song got me through some dark moments, and also just some really fun ones. So
it's a great cover of a Bob Dylan song. This is Knocking on Heaven's Door. I love the drums on that. That's Matt Sorum on drums. Matt Sorum has a book coming out, his autobiography. It's either coming out in July or August. And I'm gonna say 100% I will have Matt Sorum on the show.
Okay.
Because I have his personal email, and I've emailed back and forth with him. So
stalk him until he says yes.
I will stalk him until he says, dude, leave me alone. And sometimes that's what happens.
Yeah.
But usually not. That's such a great song.
It's a great cover.
You're a rocker.
I am. And growing up, especially like the 90s music, most like when we got into grunge and stuff, I was like, okay, all right. I got it. I appreciated it, but I didn't want to listen to it.
Right. See,
so
I'm
a lot of revisiting.
For me, the 90s, I like some of the grunge stuff, but I was more in the Counting Crows, Gin Blossoms type arena.
Well, I have to admit, there was a huge, and I'm going to spare your audience, there was a huge Tori Amos phase.
It's right in the notes. It's right in my notes.
I'm going to spare you guys, and we're going to just skip over it. But imagine me crying 16 in my car, listening to China over and over on a loop. The picture.
Is there, do you still like Tori Amos, though?
I love Tori. If you grew up with Tori, you love her, and you like hope she got therapy at some point.
What is next for me? Oh, I got to play some Pat Benatar.
Yes.
She should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame because she won a Grammy 4 years in a row for best female rock vocalist. How is she not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? I don't understand it. Yeah. But this is from my favorite Pat Benatar album, Precious Time. I'm going to play the title track, Precious Time. And this just goes to anyone who wants to do something creative or anything. The line in here is, life is too short, so why waste precious time?
Yeah.
So be like Rebecca and use your time wisely. Here we go.
I don't want to argue about who is the victim, because maybe we both got burned. I don't want to talk about who is the traitor, because both of our loyalties turn. I don't want to fight about who is the liar, because there's too many ways to lie.
Know that song, but I like it.
Yeah, that's a good one. And seeing Pat Benatar on MTV as a high school student. Hello, Pat Benatar. what do we got next from Rebecca?
Okay. Well, we can go back to my high school. I was hugely into Van Morrison, and I'm going to play you guys Sweet Thing because it was a song that my friends and I came back to a lot when we were like going to the Ren Fair and planning our escape.
Okay. Sweet Thing.
And I was strong and merry when I jumped the hedges first. And I will drink the clear, clean water for to quench my thirst. And I'll show out the ferry boats and they'll get high on a blue ocean against tomorrow's sky. And I will never grow so old. Gardens all wet with rain. Oh, oh. Sweet thing, sweet thing. Yeah. Sweet thing.
Very nice. So, Rebecca, what suburb in the Chicagoland area are you from?
It's called the North Shore. I was from Highland Park, which is about half an hour north of the city.
It's very nice in Highland Park.
It's lovely in Highland Park. Yeah. I don't know why I was so desperate to leave. Every time I go back now, I'm like, it's so pretty here. Look at all the trees.
You don't know. If you want to get out, you want to get out. You're tired of it.
I didn't want to be there. I was going to go be an actress.
You want to go to the place that you chose, of your choosing.
Yeah.
And now, do you feel like a California person now?
You know, I've been here for so long. It's definitely home. I don't know, you know, it's definitely home. I've been here a long time.
Can you ever think of living anywhere else, or is this it?
I could imagine living somewhere cheaper.
Does that exist?
It must. I don't know. We talk about it all. Everyone in LA, at some point, you and your partner are like, should we leave? Where should we go? Let's go live in Oregon. Let's go live in Wyoming. We'll buy a ranch. Like, it's the whole Zillow thing.
Yep.
And you're never going to do it. Because what are you going to do in Oregon?
Yeah. Well, I'm so happy that Pilar moved here from Massachusetts. I moved here from Pennsylvania, both cold climates as Chicago is in the winter. And we both love it here. Like I just can't think about, you walk outside and there's a palm tree and it's sunny. I mean, it's
sunny and hot. And you're like, should we go sit on the deck and have a glass of wine? And
right. It's kind of, yeah. I mean, it sounds, I don't know if it sounds elitist, but I mean, that's how it is. We have a tiki bar in our backyard. It's crazy.
You literally have a tiki bar.
We literally have a tiki bar. I think I've told this story before. Maybe you don't know it. Well, when this house was for sale, we came to look at it and the side gate was open. So we walked in the back first and there's a pool back there. And then Pilar sees the tiki bar and she goes, we have to buy this house. I'm like, why? She goes, 'cause it has a tiki bar. And I was just like, you don't know what's going on inside of that house. You have no idea. You can't buy a house 'cause it has a tiki bar. But
it's my favorite part of your house though.
It is very nice. We do utilize that. It's like an outdoor, a giant outdoor room. We do love it. But thankfully the inside of the house was had good bones. So, but and our oldest Ezra does not like the hot weather.
Yeah.
Ezra will definitely be an East Coast person.
When you grow up somewhere, like you said, they grew up here. They're like, nope, yep. Something new.
But Rita's kind of a California girl. Like she does enjoy it. She likes the beach and the water and she does enjoy it. So we'll see what happens, but I'm staying here. What's next? Was it me or you? We just played Sweet Thing.
You just played Sweet Thing. It's your turn.
All right. Let me do one of these stupid book workarounds. One of the books I can remember reading was a Stephen King book. Now, not one of the thick Stephen King books, because I would never do that. It was a thin Stephen King book. It wasn't thinner. It was Carrie.
Yep.
And I love the book, Carrie, and I love the movie. I think it's one of the best adaptations of one of his books.
It is brilliant. And that's just a lot.
It does. And I just watched it again this past year, and it still holds up. Other than the high school girls, I was looking up the actresses' ages.
They were 30.
Edie McClurg is in it. She's 30 in it.
I know.
Now, the good thing about that is there's so much nudity in that female locker room.
Yes, sir.
Actually, the age that they were supposed to be playing would not be good. Yeah, it would not be good. So anyway. So the song I picked, it's a Holly song, and it's called Carrie Ann.
Okay.
So Carrie.
There's no connection here, P.M.
There's none at all. Just the Carrie.
Okay. I'm rolling with it.
There's just just pretend I did something good.
When we were at school, our games were simple. I played a janitor, you played a monitor. Then you played with older boys and prefects. What's the attraction in what they're doing?
Hey, Carrie Ann, what's your game now? Can anybody play? Hey, Carrie Ann, what's your game now? Can anybody play?
Now, Rebecca, have you ever heard that song before?
I have heard that song because my dad loved oldies. And so I've heard it. It's now that I'm hearing it as an adult, I'm realizing I don't think it's about what I thought it was about.
How old's your dad?
Dad's good.
How old is he?
Oh, God. How old is he? I don't know.
Don't say 57.
No, he's 77. I don't really know.
I have listeners that are way younger than me. And like, I'll go, oh, how old's your dad? They'll go, oh, he's 56. I'll go, 50, what? How dare you?
These other girls who write for Wattpad, they'll be talking. They'll be like, I'm here with my mom. And there's a picture of a lady who I swear to God is my age. And I'm like, he's so cute.
That is crazy. Yeah. That's crazy.
I know. No, he's late 70s.
That's good.
And he's doing great. They got their shots. They're good.
Have you guys gotten vaccinated yet?
Stefan gets his tomorrow, first one. And I can get mine mid-April.
I feel like I should tell my story now. I've never told. See, I don't post. There's something weird for me about posting your vaccination card on social media.
Yeah.
It's just weird to me because, you know, and even though I'm going to tell you this story real quickly, probably not quickly, probably be a long, long story. But I just feel like then you open it up to people like, responding like my mom's 82 and she couldn't get it. How did you get it? Or, you know, or where did what happen? So anyway, I just, even though I'm going to tell this story in a public forum right now for you, I haven't posted and I'm not, and okay. I won't post, but I will tell this and more people will hear this than will ever see my Facebook. Okay. Right. So I kept trying and trying and trying. I would go through the myturn.ca.gov, trying to get an appointment, doing everything I can do. And then one day I'm on there, and when it came to occupation, I checked retired. And as soon as I did that, I immediately had two appointments scheduled for the first and second. So I printed out my paperwork. I look at my paperwork. It says when I show up at CSUN in Northridge, I'm going to have to go to the 65 and older mod. But
you cheated.
I didn't cheat because my real date of birth is there.
Okay.
Okay. So I just figure, well, I'll figure it out when I get up there. Either they'll send me home or, yeah, but I was going to say, look, I'm retired. I do air quotes. But my real age is here. And if they sent me home, fine. So I go up there. It's a drive through. So the first line of defense, actually the only line of defense, it's the first gatekeeper. I roll down my window a little bit and the woman says, do you have your paperwork? Show her my paperwork. Do you have your ID? Show her my ID. Had a code on my phone. And then she says to me, do you have a pre-existing medical condition? And I say, no, I don't. And she says, because you kind of need a pre-existing medical condition to get a vaccine here today. And I said, well, yeah, no, I really don't. And then she says, are you sure you don't have a pre-existing medical condition? Now, Rebecca, I'm still not getting it, because now I want to be super honest now, because I feel like maybe I was fudging on the paperwork. So right. I go, absolutely not. I really don't. I do not have a, I'm sorry to say, but I do not have a pre-existing medical condition. I feel fine. I'm in tip-top shape. So she kind of sighs and her shoulders just like, oh. And she turns around. She goes over to her table. She brings this form over. She puts it in the window and she says, okay, you're going to check this box, which indicates that you have a pre-existing medical condition. And then you're just going to sign your name here. And then I get it. And I'm like, Oh, okay. Okay. So I'm kind of not comfortable with checking the box and signing it, because I feel like that's like a paper trail. That's a paper trail of lies.
Yeah.
So the next person I come to, it's the person that's giving me the vaccine. Well, they don't ask me for any paperwork. They just say, license. Okay. We got your name here. And I got the vaccine, and I got one of two. The next one happens this Thursday. And
I know
that was it. So
I think everyone's trying to be really ethical and wait their turn. Mm-hmm. But I know a lot of people who are like, I kind of really need it. Like, I have to go to work.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah, do what you gotta do.
Look, I texted my friend who's a nurse in the emergency room, front lines. And I just said, hey, I just booked an appointment to get my vaccination. And, but this might not be ethical the way I did it. And I just said, what do you think? Literally, if she would have said, yeah, that's not cool, don't do that.
Right.
But the text back in all caps was, fucking get it.
Yeah.
And I was like, are you sure? And she goes, so many people are refusing it that if you can get it, you should get it.
I have a friend who's a nurse who I just talked to today, and she said the same thing. She was waiting her turn, because she is a nurse, but she was furloughed. So she's like, I don't really have to go to the office right now.
Yeah.
And they made it available to like 30,000 medical personnel in New Jersey. And of 30,000, she said like 2,500 showed up. So many people were just like, I don't know. And she was like, oh, screw it then. Get out of the way. I'll get it then if you're not sure. Yeah.
So that's where we are.
There you go.
I was going to say I should have it because I'm a national treasure.
Right.
You know, Tom Hanks, Pat Francis, and Bruce Springsteen. We should all get it.
I should get it because I've been really patient.
You've been very patient.
Big fan of science. So.
What about Stefan? Has he had it yet?
Tomorrow. Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool. Excellent. Yeah. All right. Moving on to Rebecca's list.
We're so sick. Like, we're going to talk about the vaccine now. Oh, please don't.
What are you going to do?
I know.
This might be a good time, Rebecca, to say, here comes ad number two.
Oh, great. Here comes ad number two.
And we're back. All right. What's your next song?
All right. So we're going to do some more stuff from the book. I don't know. We're coming to the modern times here. We're going to do a Taylor Swift song. As I was starting to write book three, Taylor Swift released Folklore. And I got to tell you, that album, I just listened to it over and over and over again. And I'm sure everybody did. But particularly, there was a very difficult theme I had to write in book three. And I don't want to spoil anything, but it was this huge, devastating moment. Uh-huh. And there's a song on the B side of Folklore called Epiphany that the first time I ever listened to the album, I think I kind of skipped over it because I was like, yeah, whatever. And then I listened to it again. And the lyrics are incredible. It's just amazing. So we're going to listen to a little bit of Epiphany.
Okay, here it is, Taylor Swift, one of my faves.
popular song for the first half of this pandemic, but she, every song on that one and the other album was just like, oh my God, this woman just went to another level.
She is working overtime because this Friday she's releasing Fearless, Taylor's version. And this is, she's re-recording her first, I think, however many albums so that she can get the rights to those versions. So if movies and TV want to license those songs, they'll use the, hopefully use these versions.
Why? Because the whole Big Machine drama, I was just like,
unbelievable.
And why?
Yeah. Ridiculous.
A lot of work.
It is a lot of work, but man, she's a force.
Dear God, does she ever sleep?
She must, because she looks fantastic.
Exactly.
When I was in high school, 1981, Van Halen came to town on the Fair Warning Tour. And my friends and I, we all wanted to go. And I remember this being like, I mean, I had been to concerts before, but like a bunch of us wanted to go. And so one of our friends, who's his dad, they were kind of well off for the, they had their own business. So his dad would only let his son go if the dad booked two hotel rooms for us to stay in. I think there were like 10 or 11 of us. I don't even remember, because he didn't want us driving home late at night from Pittsburgh, which was about 2.5 hours from my hometown.
Mm-hmm.
What he didn't realize is we didn't sleep all night. So we were driving home the next morning with no sleep anyway. Yeah. So, and we were all good kids. Like there was no drinking or no drugs or anything. We just wanted to go see Van Halen. So they were amazing. And, you know, everyone knows this song from Fair Warning. This is Unchained.
That's when they were just like, we're going for it.
Yep. I love it. That was such a great show. I remember it was called Festival Floor, which they would never do now. The floor was just empty, no chairs or anything. And I don't know how many tickets they sold for that. And then you got as close as you could possibly get. I didn't get in the mix because it looked like it was going to be a disaster. But I remember right before the show started, two guys started to have a fist fight. And then two guys started to have a fist fight and the lights came down and like you heard the first power chord and those guys immediately stopped fighting and just then paid attention to the show. It was the funniest thing.
That's hysterical.
Eddie Van Halen's guitar broke up a fight that night.
Power of rock.
Yes.
Eddie Van Halen broke up a fight. I'm way too claustrophobic for something like that because I just see a stampede coming and I can't do it.
Yeah. It's scary. It's ridiculous. But the stuff you do when you're, 17, you don't care.
The stuff you do when you're a kid.
Next.
Okay. I'm looking. I have one more song from that I listened to in high school that is way older than my high school. I don't know why I included this. It's George Harrison's My Sweet Lord. And I was a little obsessed with George Harrison in high school. And this has nothing to do with the book, but there was a lot of driving around and listening to this song. And I think it actually, you know, ironically, without realizing it, it did kind of inform the book. The character Marina is on this spiritual journey. She's Catholic. She's trying to figure out if there's a heaven and a hell and try to figure out what religion means to her. And this is a theme throughout the three books. So I think this was when I was sort of going through the, why do we have religion thing?
All right. Here's My Sweet Lord.
My Lord, I really want to see you. Really want to feel you.
love at the end of that song, and they start alternating Hallelujah and Hare Krishna. And you can see his journey, that growing up Christian in England and experiencing, you know, Hinduism and trying to understand religion in so many different parts of his life, that it was just this incredible sort of song of being on that journey.
And is George your favorite Beatle?
I think he's the one that I'm like, oh, George, you know. I don't know that he created as much memorable music in the end as, you know, the other guys were just around longer from them and had more opportunity to get those songs out there.
I find if you take the 10 hits from each solo Beatle, I think they're all equally good.
Yeah.
Ringo might not have as many as the other three, but.
No, maybe not Ringo. And Ringo never pretended to be as good of a writer as the other guys.
But now Ringo puts out an album like every year. Like, he has so much music out now. It's crazy. Let me say this before we continue, just so if the listeners go to books.wattpad.com, and that's Watt with two T's, is there like an official bio of Rebecca Phelps on there?
I think that's the old link is the only problem, because they switched to a new server. And well, I'm going to tell you exactly how to find. Okay. But yeah, they switched to, you know, honestly, the best thing to do is to find me on Instagram and then follow the link, because there's links. You can buy it in America. You can buy it in Barnes & Noble. You can buy it in England. You can buy it everywhere.
Okay, well, give out your Instagram to people right now, and I'll stay silent.
My Instagram is Gemini Rosie. It's GEMINIROSEY. You can also follow me on Twitter, where it's just Downworld Novel. That's way easier to remember.
Okay, Downworld Novel on Twitter, and then go to the Instagram, throw some follows out there. You can also follow Wattpad Books at Wattpad Books.
Yeah, you can also just find me. And if you go to Wattpad Books, right, just go to Wattpad.com. Mm-hmm. I am on the homepage right now, and it says, bye, Downworld. So
perfect. Let me ask you this. When did you have fun picking songs?
Yes. It was stressful, because I was trying to balance my high school experience, which the music had nothing to do with the 90s, right, and then the songs that literally did inspire the book, which is hard because there's some spoilers, because they inspire very specific scenes that you have to kind of read the books to get.
That's the thing. It's like, hey, do you want to be on my podcast? I would love to be on your podcast. Okay, here's your homework.
Yeah.
Because I always got to give homework.
I did.
Downworld, you said there's two sequels. Does this book end on a cliffhanger, or is this self-contained?
It could be self-contained. When I wrote Downworld, I didn't know that it was going to get published. Okay. So I gave it an ending that could be its own ending, because I just thought, maybe this might be it. This might be the end of it. And then when I got the publishing deal, I immediately started working on the sequel. Wrote the sequel. So I wrote Yesterworld in like 6 months. It just came to me. And I was like, I know exactly what's going to happen in this book. And then I wrote this epic book about going to the past and portals and falling in love. And then I started writing this third book, Everworld. And that one's taking forever because of this pandemic.
Well, I love the titles. I love that there's world in every title. It makes sense. It's like when you watch the first season of some bingeable show and it ends and you say, this, if it doesn't get picked up for a second season, this is a nice ending. However, it could definitely get picked up for a second season. So
without giving too much away, Downworld ends in a place that I should hope people get to the end and go, oh God, please tell me there's a sequel. And then they find out there is, and they're like, oh, thank God, because.
Excellent. Perfect. You know, that's what you want. That's what you want. That's the best. What do I got next? Okay. Here's one of my book workarounds. One of the books that I read in high school that I loved was John Steinbeck's Of Mice and Men. I love that book.
You've read three books in your life, and they're the most popular books of all time.
I've also read Green Eggs and Ham and The Night Before Christmas. Those are the five books that I've read. The one song I know the lyrics to is Happy Birthday. Okay, so here's the workaround on this song. A character in The Grapes of Wrath is Tom Joad, Grapes of Wrath, written by John Steinbeck. So I'm going to play a song called The Ghost of Tom Joad by Bruce Springsteen. That's my book workaround.
Yeah. Build a line stretching around the corner.
Welcome to the new world order. Family sleeping in their car in the southwest. No home, no job, no peace, no rest. Well, the highway is alive tonight. Nobody's kidding nobody about where it goes. I'm sitting down here in the campfire line, searching for the ghost of Tom Jones.
That's Quiet Blues.
It's Nebraska, right?
It's off an album called The Ghost of Tom Joad, but it's very Nebraska-like.
Yeah. Nebraska is one of those albums that I think a lot of people don't know, and Ghost of Tom Joad too, because they think of, you know, rock and roll.
Yeah, born in the USA, dancing in the dark.
Yeah, when Springsteen gets quiet, though, oh my God.
He's like this. He's like, the Ghost of Tom Joad.
He's got that gravelly voice. Like, yep. Something happened during the Depression. We're like, okay, great.
See, Rebecca, if we didn't have this pandemic right now, you and I would be in the same room doing this. That's how I like to do this. But this feels similar to how I like to do it.
I do.
I want to tell you
place that we'd have some chips or something.
Right, exactly. And we would have a couple of drinks too. Since you played a song from Use Your Illusion 2, I do want to tell people that our friend of the show and frequent co-host Mike Schmidt has got his second vaccination. I'm getting my second vaccination this week. And then after the 2 week or whatever, however it is, when we're both free and clear, Mike is coming over in person and we are going to go track by track through Use Your Illusion 1 and 2. Okay. Now, Rebecca, my friend Mike Schmidt he's just the best. He is, whenever he's on, the episode is like 3.5 hours long. It's insanity. But people seem to love it. So I'm just throwing that out as something for people to look forward to in the future. Not to say that this is not amazing right now. I'm promoting shows down the road as if I'm making an excuse for this show, which I am not. We are having fun right now in the moment.
I don't know that there's a theme to the show we're doing right now, but it is fun.
The theme is Downworld. Wait till I send you the artwork tomorrow. Let me see if the artwork, if I got it in yet.
Is there artwork? I like artwork.
I have a bunch of extremely talented people that do Facebook artwork for all the episodes.
Nice.
Let me see if it came through yet. No, I do not have it yet, but
that'll give me something to post besides just another picture of myself. Like
exactly.
A lot of people like, I did a thing. Check it out.
It's you know, you have to promote yourself, and at the same time, it's so self-indulgent, but you have to do it.
I know.
You know,
I did not do social media for years.
Yeah.
Until I started promoting this book. And they were like, you have to be on the internet. You have to have Instagram. You have to have Twitter. And I was like, I have to have Twitter?
Yeah.
So I created a Twitter account called Downworld Novel. And I don't think I posted one thing until like I got a publishing deal. Well, and then I'm like,
when this episode goes post to the world tomorrow, you will be looped into the tweet, so you can just retweet it and links will be there and everything. So people can, if you want people to go listen, they can go listen. Like, so what are, it's your turn. I just played that Springsteen song.
Okay. We did all my high school songs. We don't have very many left. We have two left. And
we have
both
two. And one's a playout song.
Yeah. This is one you got, I almost didn't pick it because we've all just heard it too many times, but ironically I played it in the chapter in book two. I played it like on Wattpad, you can actually say like, here's a link to a video. Like, here's, watch this video. Here's a song that inspired this chapter. So at the end of book two, Marina's in a place where she's, I don't want to give too much away, but she's thinking about stuff that has happened. And I linked to Cyndi Lauper's Time After Time. And you would not believe how many young people wrote to me and said, what is this song? I've never heard it. And I was like, oh, right, because you're 15. Here you go. This is Cyndi Lauper's Time After Time.
And I hope they love the song after they heard it.
I hope so.
Here it is.
Lying in my bed, I hear the clock tick and think of you. Caught up in circles, confusion is nothing new.
Such a great song.
So in the 80s, there was this big Cyndi Lauper versus Madonna thing.
I was actually going to just say that. That's crazy.
Don't know about. I was always firmly team Cyndi Lauper because she could sing. I was like, right. Great. But I was like, Don't you want the one who can sing?
And that was just manufactured, though. There wasn't a rivalry between those two.
They had a rivalry, but they had a similar, funky style.
They needed something to put on the rock and roll magazines.
Yeah, totally. So. But Cyndi had that voice. Oh, my God.
So good. Now, I only have one more to play, but I have two on my list. I don't know who to play. It's a difficult. It's a Sophie's choice. I'm going to go with Fleetwood Mac.
Okay.
This is from 1982. I just love this. I love this album. It's the album that the album is Mirage. And oh. I don't know if it gets enough love, but
no, because I remember the Rumors.
Right. Rumors gets all the love,
but
this song is Hold Me. And I just love it because it just feels like Stevie, Lindsey and Christine McVie are all singing together on this one over top of each other. And I've just always loved this song. So that's the reason. And I graduated in 1982. So why not? Here it is.
Can you understand me? Baby, don't you hand me a line. Although it doesn't matter, you and me got plenty.
And the bass is incredible.
There's nobody in the future, so baby, let me get you my love. Oh, the step for you to dance to, so slip your hand inside my glove.
We're speaking to each other.
I know.
Sound great together.
Yep, they do sound great together. The drums sound great. They're very simple, but I love that bass line, and I just love everything about that song. So that's why I played it.
Cool.
Right, Rebecca, you only have one more song, and it's our playout song. So we're going to wrap it up because what I'm going to tell you is I put the playout song in after the fact. So I'm pulling the curtain back for you and the people at home.
Okay.
So let's promote as hard as possible right now. First of all, I'm going to promote for me and we'll close it out with your promotion and you can introduce your playout song. You can follow Rock Solid at Rock Solid Show. Go to Rock Solid Podcast for everything about the show, t-shirts and Patreon page. And you can follow Kyle at Kyle Dotson Funny. And that's it for my promotion. Now it's time for Rebecca.
Before I do the song, you can follow me at Downworld Novel on Twitter or at Gemini Rosie on Instagram. Instagram is better. I do cute pictures and promotions, and I've got huge news coming up that I can't share yet. So follow me on Instagram or on Wattpad.
All right. That's the place to find everything about Rebecca Phelps.
It is true. All right. This is a song that I just discovered recently. Stefan had a best hits of the 70s album that he was like a record that he was playing because that's my husband. And this is a version of a song that I knew that is so haunting and gorgeous. And it fits so perfectly with book three, which has this dystopian stuck in a future that's supposed to be perfect, but isn't kind of a thing. And this song just nailed it. So this is the song that is the book three song, and it is Prelude's version of After the Gold Rush.
The classic Neil Young song. All right, Rebecca, thanks so much for doing this. Thank you for writing this book. Everyone go and buy Downworld by Rebecca Phelps. And again, in 2 weeks, I'll be giving definitely two copies away, possibly more copies. So head over to Patreon and for $2 a month, you can be in the running to win books and CDs and all kinds of fun stuff. So with that, please enjoy After the Gold Rush by Prelude. Thanks, Rebecca.
Well, I dreamed I saw the knights in armor come, saying something about a queen. There were peasants singing and drummers drummed, and the archer split the tree. There was a fanfare blowing to the sun that was floating on the breeze. Look at Mother Nature on the run in the 1970s. I was lying in a burned out basement with the full moon in my eyes. I was hoping for a replacement when the sun burst through the skies. There was a band playing in my head, and I felt like getting high. Thinking about what a friend had said, I was hoping it was a lie.
Well, I dreamed I saw the silver spaceships flying in the yellow haze of the sun. There were children crying and banners flying all around the chosen one.
All in a dream, all in a dream, the loading had begun. Flying Mother Nature's silver seed to a new sun. Flying Mother Nature's silver seed to a new home in the sun.